them and making this amazing, amazing initiative happen. It's already changed the lives and business of many, 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 many people. Shkoyach to them. They should continue to be matzliach in all their avedus hakodesh and avedus hachol b'siyata d'shmaya. Also, shkoyach to Avram Getzel and Fesco for sponsoring the breakfast. L'nishmas Sadia Bas Ruby and all the others. What? And lunch. Sorry. Folks, and lunch. And shkoyach everybody for coming and joining at what? Ooh. Any attorneys who want CLE credits should contact Rocky Parsons for those CLE credits. Shkoyach to Rabbi Kushner. I'm sure it's going to be very enlightening, very important fundamental ideas in halacha, and also very entertaining, I'm sure. Also, is Shukar Rabbi Kushner.
Can I get a chumash? Let's talk to in the beginning. Any chumashim? So we covered the basics yesterday, the Isser Mischer. We introduced it, we developed it, we discussed some of the applications of the Isser, which have applications in commercial, feeding workers and the sorts. And now we're going to do the second part, which will be the heter. We'll focus on the heter and his damnu, and maybe some of the heterim that we find. So we find in the Torah, when the Torah says a person is not allowed to eat dvarim,
can't speak like mashed into it.
Everyone hears.
Apparently, people in the back are not hearing.
Okay, I'll talk louder. I can't get my space invaded like this. I can't. I want you to know, I spoke many times, I never had a mic like this. So. Either it has to be more sensitive, I'll just talk louder.
Maybe nobody heard your shit.
Okay,
come here. You never know.
Okay, this is a Mishnah in Shvius. It starts really with the Torah. The Torah says, "Loisoichlu kol nevela." A person cannot eat nevela. Nevela is tray for meat. Loisoichlu kol nevela. So, what does a person do with nevela? If a person has nevela, we'll get how did that happen. But it seems like a person had nevela. What did you do? So he has a few options. Leger asha b'sherecha titneno. He should give it to a ger, which is referring probably to a ger. Taisha Rashi will say. Let's see. Leger ger taishiv, yeah. Okay, he can give it to ger taishiv. Or, oi, machal anachri. He could sell it to a guy, right? And then right away, alarm bells go off. What is machal anachri? And I'll sell it to a guy. There's an isul eshaichel, which means, and I'll do mischi, and I'll be selling a veil to a guy. So we have mitzarechot. We know that when it says eshaichel, if you can't eat it, you can't do business with it. That's a gemara, and psachim learns from eshaichel. And then you have a pasuk that says machal nachri. So how do we work this out? So the Mishnah in Shvia says mutter tzodei chaya oifos v'dogim. If someone is a trapper and he has chayos oifos dogim that are tmeim, the non kosher chayos oifos and dogim, shen is damnu lehem, that it ends up in his trap, mine tmeim. Mutarim lemachray. He's allowed to sell it. So that's the answer. The answer is it was nizdamnu. It ended up. He didn't go out to purchase it. This is called the heter nizdamnu. And you look in the mafarshim over here. The ksiv gabi nevela oy machal nachri. It says mafarsh in the Torah that a person has a nevela. So if we have a shlachtoiz, and a shlachtoiz very much would want to sell kosher meat to Yidden, and they pay a premium for it, and they very much want that all the behemoths that they shecht should be kosher, but the reality is many of the behemoths that they shecht is not going to be kosher. That's just the biological makeup of this particular behemoth and this particular, right? And it's a big percentage. So what happens? That was his domino. I didn't come in to do business with nevelas. I ended up with a nevela. I'm allowed to sell it, and that is the heter nizdamnu. That's what we discussed yesterday. Okay, now we're going to develop this further. So the first thing I want to say is that When we talk about the heter of nizdamnu, that you have a person who throws out a net and is trying to catch fish, and it was nizdamnu, it ended up with non-kosher fish. Now, the Tor and the Lashon Shulchan Aruch, and we'll look at the Lashon Shulchan Aruch right now, that after it says the Isser, this is in Siman Kuf Yud Zayin, after it says that a person is not allowed to do schayra with dvarim tmeim, it says v'im nizdamnu litzayit, and there is a discussion in the Pesukim if it means dafka only someone who's trapping, but we come out lahalacha means all people. Im nizdamnu litzayit, if a trapper, nizdam I guess means it was chanced upon. Chayev oivis v'dogim tmeim. The halach is mutal machram ubuvad shalo yischavin lekach. What does ubuvad shalo yischavin lekach means? That means that wasn't your kavana. What was your kavana? Your kavana is to be involved in the business of kosher food, and you ended up with non-kosher food. Now, let's develop this a little technical. What does this mean? And I wish it would. It should be clear what this means. If a person has a commercial fishing net, and he spreads his net, and the net could hold 100 pounds of fish. And he knows when he spreads it, it's going to be some tmeim and some tahirim. Okay? So is he allowed to go into such a business? So can he say, I'm mechavin for the tahirim? First of all, what does that mean, you're mechavin for the tahirim? The tmeim will be mutter because it is damnu, because you're mechavin for the tahirim. Well, then you're also mechavin for the tmeim because you know that the hetim is damnu. So what does it actually mean, you're mechavin for the tahirim? In what sense are you mechavin? You'd rather it be, you're like hoping it'll be 100% tahirim? What does it exactly mean, you're mechavin? You're not doing anything. If they're getting trapped. A person does a maisa. He does a maisa to do this. He's not mechavin for this, right? I'm trying to schlep a stender. I'm not mechavin to make a chritz. What does that mean? That means I'm just trying to move the stender. I'm not mechavin to make the chritz, the hole in the ground. That's so the hole in the ground, we all understand, is a dovish and mechavin. You're throwing a net. You're not mechavin for anything. Whoever gets caught, gets caught. So what it means, I believe what it means is that when we, commercially speaking, you have a business that is viable with the tahirim. I'm running a business of catching tahirim and selling them to Yidden. And it's a viable business. A business, by definition, is going to make money. This is all, when Chazal say mischer means you're making money. This is pre-government agencies, right? Mischer means you have to make money. If not, there's no business. So the business has a viable model by catching tahirim. And that's the business you're in. If you have a kosher shlachtos, they're in the business of selling kosher meat. And the non-kosher meat is not what they're coming to do over here. So that's...
Water has kosher and tomato and
fish. That's true. So what happens? Very good. So I'm trying to define this. And this is going to make a very big difference. This is a fascinating, just, I guess, a case study in this Damnu. Because it starts very simple. The Torah says you could sell the nevela that you chanced upon. And that heter develops over the centuries. And it gets, and the more you analyze what the heter is, it could get broader and wider until it got very wide to the fact that there was pushback. And we'll try to go through this. But really, in the mission itself, we could start this debating what's going on over here. So if your business, you're throwing it into the water, if I'm coming to sell to Hiram, and minus those Tameim, you have a business, and that's the business you're going into, we could define that, that's Mechavim. Is that a definition you could live with? You have a viable business that would be worthwhile for you to do this business. A worthwhile, meaning even if it's viable, if it's making $10, it's a lot of work for $10, right? So it's a viable business that's worthwhile for you to do, minus the Tameim, okay? Because it becomes a very a tremendous contradiction. The least in.
Are much higher.
I'm sorry?
Even if the percentage of the truth is much more than
the I don't know of anyone who ever spoke about percentages. If it was important to discuss percentages, someone in the Pesukim should have told us about it. The way I'm defining mischaven, and it's very strange because it's never defined.
You said yes, so you don't need it, you can keep it.
But that's mamash what it is. So the way we're defining mischaven now is that this is what I'm coming to do. And you can't be fooling yourself. You can't say, I'm coming to do this, but you need the Tmeim. If the Tmeim selling them as nizdamnu becomes part of the model, then in what sense is it not mischaven? It becomes mischaven.
But you're always marviach. It's a separation nichla.
You're marviach. You only could be marviach if you don't need the harvacha because I have a model. But no, because then it's not nizdamnu. Because then in what sense are you not mischaven? So if the model needs both, so what mechavin means is you don't need that to start out. You're not building a business with that model. That's how I'm giving you a definition. If you have a better one, I'm listening. Okay, so the yeah.
What if you have an issue according to the definition? I can have a business where I'm making $100,000 in kosher.
First of all, I didn't even say anything yet. So if you have a question, you have to wait because I said nothing so far. I mean this seriously. Hold on. You're ahead of me. So the definition of mischaven in this case, in the case of a net, in the case of a trap, where you're not actually doing it, and we'll see different mechavins when you're purchasing, and then it gets much more complicated. But in the case of the Torah, mechavin means the business model is viable, and that's what you're coming to do. It's mischaven. What I'm coming to do is to catch Tahirim. If catching Tahirim is a losing proposition without Tmeim, then you can't say you're mechavin because you're coming to lose money. You have to come to make money. That's what mischer is. So you're coming to and enough money to do it. So mechavin means you have a viable business without the tmeim. You have enough to hire him. Now you have tmeim. Right now you have tmeim. What do you do with the tmeim? Do you have to throw it out? Do you not have to? It's nizdamnu. I don't need those. They got washed in with the deal. I can't filter them out. It's not what I'm coming to do. That's not my model. It does not include that. When I throw my nets, I'm not even thinking about that. The least you think about it, the more you can make money off of it. The more you make money off of it, you start thinking about it, now you're getting in trouble. That's how the nizdamnu works. Okay, so that's the first case. Now, what was your question? It's not possible such mitzvahs, because what's going to happen is, tell me again, $100,000 a fish is going to have different equipment than $10 million. It's not possible. You went too far.
So let's do the
you just went off the cliff. No, I mean it seriously. If you're going to start getting heavy duty equipment and the net got bigger, now you're running a different business, and you can't say you're mechatan anymore. You're running your business with the hope. It has to go through. Well,
it could be more.
Okay, let's say $1 million on kosher and $10 million on non-kosher.
Not possible. It's also not possible. It happens not to be possible. I'm not giving in to you. It's not possible. Okay.
Can you advertise?
And this is the lotion of the tour, and this is the lotion.
You can't hire someone to deal with the non-kosher stuff then, because you never hired him to
do. My business?
Yeah, I'm saying,
okay.
So, let's say I have 10%
non-kosher
stuff, but I need an employee to deal with it because...
Who said you can't hire an employee? I'm not against
that. That's not part of the business model.
How are you supposed to get rid of the
tomato? You better throw them out. I don't need to sell them.
Well, why wouldn't you sell it? It's Baltashas. You can make
that's
money.
That's not part of the kosher business model.
It's not part of it, but you're allowed to sell it.
If 1 million to 10 million...
I have no idea where you're coming from. Why would you not make money when you're allowed to make money?
Because in order to get my money...
This guy's Jewish. You're allowed to do it.
In order to get my $100 fish, I need to
here we go to the topic. You two can go into business together. Rabbi Sai, now you have a case like this. Now you have, we're going to start going through the development of the case. You have a case where there is a kfar. A kfar menasa. Kfar menasa means is that the owner of the land is selling off the whole farm. Let's just say he's selling his farm. You're taking over the bylaws of the farm. You're paying a licensing fee, maybe. I'm not sure exactly how the bylaws works, because even the Taz kind of he flip-flops on it. But what happens is you have an opportunity to go into a business. The business is be a soidai, a kosher business. But there are chazerim in the business. There are dvarim tmeim in the business. Okay? And it's not being offered separately. Okay? So now, are you allowed to buy this business that has in the sale, and has tmeim, and you're gonna and you're gonna recoup your money by capitalizing on those, because if not, you're gonna be losing money. Okay? So what happens is the Taz says, and the Taz brings a Bach, and the Bach says that's awesome. So the Bach says, again, I'm buying a business. The business is be'ikr kosher, but there are tmeim to a small degree. You'd rather it wasn't there. You'd rather you didn't have to deal with it, but it's there. Can I buy the business and not throw out the tmeim? Now, what would you say? Is that the same thing as a? Is the same thing as a no? It's not the same.
Why? Can I buy the business?
You could also not make an F. But you know that you're going to get 10%. 10% are going to be tomato.
Can I buy the business without it, or the business won't be sold?
It's not for sale unless it's take all. This is a liquidation. It's a closeout. You're buying a business. It happens all the time. You're buying a business. It's being liquidated. You don't get to pick through and say, I'm taking these computers. And there's inventory in the business. The inventory... I'm sorry.
The pallet
is not a pusik or a mission. All we have so far are nets. All we have are nets and traps.
You buy so you have to. You buy the whole thing. So it's something.
We're skipping steps. There's no xeris because it's called pallet. All we have is you're a trapper and a fisherman are allowed to keep the tmein. You know for sure. You know for sure. It's a statistical impossibility. I wonder if every time, but it's over time. You know for sure, over time, it's a statistical impossibility that you will not get tmeim in that net. Are you allowed to throw that net? You are. Are you allowed to throw that net and then keep the fish? You are. So are you allowed to purchase this business?
Well, does that apply to buying and selling also? That's really the shaila, though.
Well... Because one you got for free, because you're getting it for free.
No, if you're purchasing something, whether it's a
okay, right?
You know it's coming. You know it's coming.
So more than you know, because you could know fish are coming. Because if 100 out of 100 times you get tmeim, then you know. But over here, you're actively buying tmeim. It's part of the deal, and I'm purchasing it. I'm doing a maisa, and I'm purchasing. Okay, so the shach. And the Bach, and it's not 100% clear why, and I'm not going to go into why, they hold it's us. They hold you cannot go and purchase mitchila, a deal, if many things are bundled in, if tmeim are also bundled in, because it's a purchase on everything, as opposed to throwing a net, trying to get to Hiram, and being unable to control and filter out tmeim. It's a high level of what nizdamnu means. Nizdamnu means I can't filter it out. But in this case, you can't filter it out, but at this point, you're just buying it. You're buying tomato, you're buying tomato. Not all agree with what I just said. Some say everyone's masking, you're allowed to buy such a business. The problem that the Shah has is that he kept it and he was megadol. It's not 100% clear what the problem is. But the Taz says, my rabbi said, that you are allowed to. So let me just read the Taz over here. The Taz is in... This is in Kuf Yud Zayin, and it's Sif Kutin. Well, it's a long one. It's Dalit. Okay. These people that rent Kfarim Minasar, they rent the Kfarim, but they're buying the inventory. The Kol Ha'achnosa Shal Hasar, or Bechlal Zeh Chazerim Shabachotzer, or Betoich Zman Hakiris Megadla Chazerim. So he says, Nira Lilmid Heter Alze, Kibun She Iker Kavanosoi Bishas Haschiros, the Ikra Kavana, Bishas Haschiros is Lithkar Shar Dvarim, Bizet Tuffle. This is a tuffle, it's not the Iker thing. Ain Isbizet, the Hakosavator. Now this gets very hard to read, but he says like this Kosavator. So tmeim im tahirin. So he says, Mashma shekavonahu sod oisom yachad. This is what he says. Now, the Torah literally says, that's what he says. He says, you can't be mechavin for the tmeim. So he says, if you look in the Torah, it's Mashma shebikavonahu sod oisom yachad. He was mechavin to tzodom yachad. Fa'afilah hachi mutter. She ain't kavanasa. Now he goes back. Ain't kavanasa ela ala tahirim. You really only mean the tahirim. Ela he absolutely is tahirim nitzaydim lechud. She be arvuv yehem. So what he means to say, because he's going back and forth, what he means to say is, I believe, is that you really meet you're mechaven to make tahirim, but you know 1,000,000% you're getting tamei. You know, I don't think it means you're mechaven, means you're trying to. You know 100% you're getting tamei. So he says, the same way you throw a net and you get both, it's mutter, you can purchase one big purchase that you can't break up because there's an eruvia, you can't separate it, right? So you're allowed to do that, and the reason why you're allowed to do that is because it's blabs the same thing as a net. And the mela,
but in the case of this, you already know that
it's there.
You know that it's there, and it's taloi, the good stuff that it's mutter. Is tully.
Who told you that? You made that up.
I'm listening to what you're saying.
No, it's tully meaning the deal's tully. The deal's tully, which means like this, which means what would happen if I take the tmeim and I throw them out? Do I still have a business? Now I'm making things
up. But
you
would not have had the business had you not bought.
You wouldn't have acquired the business.
But you knew exactly what you were acquiring.
But that's two different things. I wouldn't. The transaction is not available to be split up. But do I have a business? This is what I'm saying he means. Do I have a business without the tmei? Which means, can I buy this farm, take those few chazerim, just send them down the river, not capitalize anything out of that, even though I guess they were priced into the sales, so you take somewhat of a hit, and do you still have a viable business? And if the answer is yes, that I'm not coming to do business with chazerim, even though I'm purchasing it, and then therefore I'm allowed to make money off the chazerim. Everything I just said I'm making up, but that's the only way I understand. So in other words, what's ikar, what's tuffel? I don't need this. I don't need it. I, that's not the business. So once it's not the business, then you can stop making money.
So the order that we learned about yesterday.
The what?
The order, the curse.
That's a good question. What happened to that? That could be why the Mach disagrees. Why doesn't he have an order? And it could be because he did a beheter. And that's something. You don't do a beheter. It's a good question. It's a very good question. Okay. So. But when you come with a heter that's damnu, you're not doing schayra, then you maybe don't have the order. And it could be many people are chalik on that, and the Bach, and it could be everyone really agrees that a person's allowed to buy a closeout, he's allowed to buy a closeout, like the case of the pallets, and it's not, it pashas it's a machlekes Bach and Taz, it could be it's not a machlekes, but the problem over here is, what gave you a right to go further? There are people who take that approach. Okay, so now we have a Taz, who, I guess he took the case of the nets, and he made an application, and he said, if you can make one purchase, then you'll be okay. Okay. Now we have a case of the Taz, and this is really, really very difficult to understand. What happened is like this. There were people that were in the business of skins, oirois, skins of goats. They would, I guess, purchase and sell skins of goats. So what happens like this. Nishalti al dover hatayoshim hakadoilim shabiglal zer darkim shabale malacha. Shaloi liknoi sa'eres elikishanoichun oisam. And what that means in English is you have goats and people would buy skins from this skin dealer and they will not buy it if the skins are cut. And when you do a shchita, you're cutting those skins. You makalkal the skins. The skins should be whole. Now, how do you kill it without making the skins whole? They had different ways to kill the animal. But if you're going to do a shchita on a goat, you're going to be mekalkel the skin. The skin's already punctured, and the whole skin is of less quality than this person is dealing with. So what happened is, he would buy behemoths. Darker shabali amalacha shal liknus aris elik shenuchen orsim avaloi shchuten v'pnei shemiskalkel. Miskalkel. Okay, sorry. Okay. Yesh lehistachbik in Yochel Yisrael limcha hatayoshim. Can the Yisrael go and buy goats, live goats, and then he's not going to shech them. He's going to kill them in a way that's going to turn them into nevelas. Okay, he'll skin it and he'll sell off the skins, and then he has the basar and he's selling off the nevelas. Okay, that's the shayla, and the Taz says, "Im mishum she'ein oisim tzchayr b'nevelos, ein shayach kan." There's no iser. Kivan de beheter oisim nevelo, havelei achkach ilu nizdamu nevelo b'teich beisay. All I'm trying to do is make good skins. And all of a sudden, I have a pile of nevela sitting here. But I'm not being oisik in nevela, I'm being oisik in skins. This is very hard to wrap your head around. The kivon shahu oisik chila beheter b'shvil hano zu ein ach kach shem isud le oisik cham elab mechadin las mikarab isik agoin lotsud minit me. Okay. Now what happens is, the prach, the pichadosh, and the alirabit, and tofkuf and aleph, when it deals with that, those same halachas, the chavis yoyin, the chach masodim, they all make a hanocha, and I believe that hanocha has to be true, and that is, you can, there's no I'm making a hanocha, I'm making an assumption, I'm assuming this assumption is true across the board, because all the chalukim on the Taz make this assumption, so I'm going to have to assume this assumption is true. You cannot buy goats and sell off the skins and throw out the meat and still make money. Because the value of a goat and the value of these behemoths, a lot of it is the meat. It's all factored in. In the market of behemoths, there's valuable things. There's horns, there's skin, there's meat. This all goes in. You can't then go and buy a behemoth which is marketed as such and pull off the skin, throw everything else out, and still make money because it was already factored into the price. That's the way it works. So here you have a fellow, Moivre Aboysan, who does not have a viable business without meat. And the Taz says that he's allowed to do it. The Taz is not muskam, but we still have to understand how in the world could such a thing exist. So I don't know 100% the right answer. The only thing perhaps we could think of, to say over here is, if you're in the skin business and you're not in the meat business, so think about when a person buys a trailer from Walmart, okay? He's not in the business of selling off the jerky. He's not in this business. What he really wants to do is buy skins, is buy skins, prepare the skins, and sell it to the people who make coats. That's all he wants to do. The fact that it came with this package of meat and the economics that came with the package of meat is the reality and something he has to deal with. But he's still not in that business. It's very. Someone said this yesterday that maybe what we could do, we could call Nizdamnu, I think you said, yeah, we could call Nizdamnu by just taking a step back and say, what really is my business and what am I coming to do? And the other parts that came along with it, it's not what I'm coming to do. It's just, the best scenario would be is we could have goats with not having the value of the meat, not having meat, and just buying these meatless goats, right, which would be cheaper because the meat that's sold to me has a value. So really what's happening is I'm trying to get the value back on the meat because the guy selling to me is mutchahin. He's not going to sell it to me without getting compensated for the value of meat. That I would rather the meat not here. I would rather the meat not here because I'm in the skin business. It's an ideological way of looking at his business. You understand? So the Taz is saying that if you're in Eiris and that's what you're coming to do, essentially you're left with Basar and you have to get rid of it. But the Taz, again, is not Muslim. And the conventional wisdom is that if you do not have a viable business without its main, by definition, it becomes that you're being Mechaber. See, the problem is you have a Lashon of Mechaber. You can keep on expanding the Heter, but the Mechaber says, so what is the Taz saying, Leitchav Lekach mean? Leitchav Lekach means, I'd rather it not here. I don't. The guy's selling it to me with it. I don't want to buy this. I want to buy the Eiris. He's charging me more. I have to get my money back. If not, I'm going to lose money. But that's not, Leitchav Lekach means that's not where I'm Mechavin for my business. You understand?
It opens up everything.
It doesn't open everything, because what everything became the Archa Shulchan. He opened everything. So the Archa Shulchan writes a tshuva based on both of these Taz. He puts it together. And the Archa Shulchan writes as follows. You have a distributor, and this is the reality. You have a yid that has a ownership stake, and it happens many times. He has it because it ends up by him, and he has an ownership stake in a Goyish supermarket. A Goyish supermarket sells trade for meat, okay? And this Shiloh played out. Fager speaks about this, where you have Yidden that are selling kosher things to Goyim. What happened in Fager's time is that the Shlachtos would sell all their trefa meat, all the trefas from the Shlachtos, they'd sell to the Goyim. And the goyim said, if we're gonna buy all your treif of meat, we need all the treif of meat, which means we also need the dogim tameim, the crab and the shrimp. We need everything. So now the shah is like this. I'm not interested in dealing with crab and shrimp. I just want to sell my nizdanim, my nevelos. I'm about to lose a customer. And that's really the shiloh with the supermarket. So you have a supermarket, 95% of the supermarket is not also their ISO. 5% is also their ISO. And for that 5%, I don't need the money, and I have a viable business without it. And I would just completely drop the non-kosher meat section. The problem is that if you're dropping the non-kosher meat section, the guy does need eventually here and there to have his meat. One second, he's going to go to a different store, and now you lost the customer. Because wherever he's morgul to go, he's going to go. I'm losing customers. So can we call that nizdamnu?
But you're losing your business. If you lose your customers, you don't have a viable business.
Right. You don't have a viable business. But what happens if you're in the business of buying and selling treif of meat, and you're losing your customers? You also don't have a viable business, but that's what the Issus Chayra is.
No, he's saying, for the 5%,
I'm going to
lose all my customers.
So says the Aruch HaShulchan, that if we see the task is saying that a person's allowed to buy a village, a kfar, or whatever, a farm, and he has no choice, there's a tuffle that he's not really interested, but it has to be involved in his business. He's allowed to buy it with, included in the sale, he's allowed to sell it. So he expands it to say that you could, it's a tuffle, right? That was the task, it's a tuffle. It's a tuffle of your business. A person's allowed to continue selling trade for meat in his supermarket. Now, the problem is that, again, we have to read the Mechaber. The Mechaber says, Zehetin is damnu, b'vad shlo yischavin l'kach. Never, ever, until the Aruch HaShulchan wrote that, was there ever a situation that anyone ever entertained that you could have a separate transaction. The Taz is talking about one transaction that you couldn't pull the Basar Tmeim out of the transaction. And the Taz himself says that. He says, what's the heter? He says, the heter is, she'i efsaliyas ha'tahoyrim l'chod she'bur arvuv yehem. They're all together. They're all mixed up. You can't separate it. Because you can't separate it, and I'm trying to get A, and B is going to come with A because I can't separate it, right? So therefore, I'm allowed to take the whole package. That is the chiddush of the Taz. I'm allowed to go and buy one big farm, one big company. The company has assets. The assets I'm interested in are not the tmeim, but there is some inventory of tmeim. It's tmeim. It's one sale. Take it or leave it. The Taz says, I'll take it. The Taz says, I'll take it. And maybe other people also hold they'll take it. But now, it's about now the Aruch HaShulchan says, a person can actually do a transaction on tmeim. So right away, there are those that say that it must be the way the business operator, Moshe says, it just can't be. It can't be. Because how could you say you're not mechavim to buy tmeim? You literally just ordered tmeim. You can't say you're not mechavim for tmeim. You got on the phone and you ordered tmeim. A person orders tmeim, can't say he's not mechavim for tmeim. He ordered it. Now, even though it's one distributor who's selling everything, but it's separate line items, and it's up to you what to order, what not to order, right? So how in the world could such a thing be mutter? So either the Aruch HaShulchan is talking about a different mitzvah, that they would just sell big blocks of food at once, but it's very hard to imagine a person wouldn't have a choice of what is included, what's not included. So this Aruch HaShulchan, by and large, was very much rejected by the Pesachim. Because even though we can maybe be matzik what the Taz says, that when I'm buying the Eretz, I'm trying to buy iris, but the meat got stuck along, and there's no way to buy iris without meat. How in the world can I enter into a transaction of buying tmeim separately? Because why? Because my business as a whole needs it, but there's a separate transaction, there's no way to be matzik it. And someone was asking yesterday, that why can't we feed the pilum? The Rama says you can't feed the pilum. Feed the pilum, that's a very small part of my business, right? Doesn't make a difference. You're buying food and you're buying food and you're doing transactions on tmeim. And I'll do transactions on tmeim. The transaction itself is a business deal. And you're making money on this business deal. You're not allowed to make money on this deal. So very much this was not accepted. Was not accepted. We started from the pasuk in the Torah and we expanded, and now that's the point when we might have gone too far and the price can pull back. And by and large, a person is not allowed to own a goyish supermarket. You want to have a gas station, even the own gas stations. I've worked in Hilchos Shabbos and how to work it out with an Aris. Even the own gas stations, can I have just a little few packages of jerky that it's included in the package? You buy it from one distributor that sells you the whole thing, and the answer is no. Those things have to come out. Those have to be filtered out. Rabbi Kveger discusses in you can check up the tshuva. It's a line item. It's a separate thing. It's a line item. Yeah, you lose the whole pass. It's a line item. You look in the end of the Tzimlam Abeis in Tshuvas Rabbi Kveger, and he speaks about the scenario when the Goyim essentially said, we're not going to buy meat from the Shlachtos unless you include other Tmeim. We want that you'll be our exclusive Trefa supplier. So you're supplying us 90% of the meat, but we also need other meat. So basically, the Shlachtos is being asked to now buy, source other Trefa meat, and mix it in, and then they have a customer. So Rabbi Kveger goes through it, and he says, there's no way to be matzik such a thing. And Rabbi Kveger says, what about just that chelik would be under the ownership of the guy? Okay? Right. What about just, and now we could have the haskala of what nursing homes could perhaps do. Because when you have a nursing home, right, we could say that the nursing home business, and many owners have told me, that the money is not in the food, the money is elsewhere. Many nursing home owners have told me that if human beings wouldn't eat, there would be no such mitzvah that human beings eat, they would just live off air, they would probably make more money, because the food is not a money-making thing, which it's not relevant, because it's still part of the business, because humans do eat, so you have to feed your customers to keep them alive so you could bill insurance. So, if al kapanim we could say that the food chelik of the nursing home is a tuffle. The food chelik of the nursing home is a tuffle. And maybe the Aruch HaShulchan would work for that, maybe. But the Aruch HaShulchan is 100% not muskim because it doesn't stim with the poskim in Simon Kuf Yud Zayin. And the Taz is very clear that his heter, which had a lot of his nachas, his heter is when one transaction was indivisible between separate things. Ultimately, you could take a nursing home and look at it as one big entity, and the food is a tuffle, but it's not a tuffle to the person calling the food distributor and making a transaction and buying that food. That's a separate transaction. And you're buying it to make money in your nursing home. So that's a problem. So McVeigar entertains just cracking off a piece of your business, and that should be under the bylis of a guy, okay? He'll be the owner of that, and the way it works, for those wondering, he never actually gets his money, so the way it works is because he didn't pay for it, and he owes me money, because he bought my X percent of my business that equates to the food, and there's financing. I'm not in the free loan business of giving going for the loan, so there's financing charges. So it ends up all the profits from that come back to me. So that's the shot. Rabbi Kveger says,
it's like, this is nothing you can sell because you're not making money.
The guy who said he's not making money, that's until he sold it. So whatever. But the point is that meaning how would you possibly sell such a thing? If you're not making money, it would be possible. You're not wrong. It's not a product. you'd have to get other compensation. So we'll throw in another ancillary service to compensate. But the point is, it would be under his buy list. But Kveger says that these are one of the examples where he can't say it's usher and he can't say it's mutter. He says you can't say it's mutter because it's not, and he can't say it's usher because then they're not going to do anything. And this heter, which he feels is more than a ramayis, it's chuchah v'kluyah, because under the bialis really of a yid, yid's the one who's going to be ordering and is going to be involved in it. And it's going to hurt the finances of a yid if the food's not ordered. He says he's in siachas, it's still to the yid. So McFager says that he's going to plead the fifth. He's not going to weigh in on such a thing. I think in the countries there's a Trubis Chassam Sefer, when he also tries to map out a heter from someone who needs it. And at the end he says, he has a whole patent and how to get a goy involved in the bialis and you'll be seichra back, but it's only the prophets are flowing back. Very much similar to what I just described before. He says, Mikolokum Shemin Nafsha Yukim Kalelo, a person should try Shemin Nafsha, a person who's Shemir himself, his nefesh, should distance himself from such things. The Yizkil is Panis Behetul of Isser. Lemaisa, in a nursing home, the best way, well, obviously, the best way to do it is to serve kosher, but not most people don't do that. There are people in nursing homes that serve kosher, and I know them, and they make money, you know. And when I was giving once a shiur on Shabbos to nursing home owners somewhere in the Midwest, I'm not going to say who, and I told them, and I said, the best aids is serve kosher, and you should have heard the laughter. Serve kosher. And I told them, and you can make money, and they're like, you can't make money. But I do know people that do make money, and they serve kosher, and it's not yidden. Okay, I mean, they're not serving from yiddens. But the best thing is to serve kosher. Now, if you can't serve kosher, sometimes there's no kosher food available, or sometimes, as they claim, the finances don't allow it. So then the next step is, there's something called a food service, where essentially it's not in-house. You pay a company, and many nursing homes do this, many facilities do this. They're not running their own kitchen at all. They're paying per head for people to come and feed their residents, their patients.
Right.
You're not taking ownership of the food. It's a service business. It's a service. The same way you would pay a nursing service to come in and take the temperature of the chevra, of the residents, you could pay someone to come in and feed them. You're not taking, one second, you're not taking ownership of the food. And ownership is how we define mischa. If you don't have ownership of the food, then okay. So that is a mahal.
You know they're not giving kosher food.
And you know they're not giving kosher food. But it's not my ownership. I'm essentially financially benefiting from someone else's food service.
Is that how our mom feeding kosher?
You have paying.
That's mischa. That's when you buy.
Yeah, but first of all,
you're not buying the
patients in there, and secondly, you're benefiting from non-kosher food.
There's no issue. That's my point. There's no issue to benefit from non-kosher food. You can't do mischa. You can't do business with non-kosher food. Mischa is defined by ownership. By buying and selling, you have to have ownership to say, I'm doing business. He's doing business with non-kosher food, and I stand to benefit. So basically, I'm running the hospitality. I'm housing them. If you have a yid, then you have a very big problem. Yeah.
And you don't know necessarily who's Jewish.
We assume that everyone's going. I mean, at least in the United States, the red going. So. If it's Rev Gum, you don't have to.
Rev Gum, you don't have to worry about it.
You don't. No. You're going to assume everyone.
Even if the guy named Stanley Goldberg or something.
Pashas
and
Kills.
If Jewish on that phrase sheet, should he write Jewish?
Once they say they're Jewish, you have a problem. Anyone who says I'm Jewish is Jewish.
Does someone who sells a nursing home, can they say I'm not selling the food portion of my sale?
Who's interacting with who?
Let's say anyone, just a non-Jewish person selling
a
nursing home.
You could have a separate food service.
No, I'm saying someone who sells a nursing home, and I want to buy it. I'm a Jewish person.
The guy's not holding on to
it. Right, so wouldn't that be the same case as the Taz with the goats?
Well, it's a funny question. The food doesn't last forever. How's the next order going to work?
But that's part of the.
It's not. It's a separate transaction. That's the problem. I have tried to get to a point like you. Why don't we just look at it as a nursing home? This food. Food's part of the big nursing home. And the nursing home has a lot of divisions how it makes money, like ambulances and nursing and all these things. And therapy, right? And one of the divisions of the nursing home is food. And you can't break off the food from the nursing home. You can't go one without the other. So it's one big farm, it's the kfar of the Taz, and the Taz says it's mutter, right? The problem is, it's going to come next week, and maybe even you bought it with the inventory, and you couldn't separate the inventory, maybe. So for 1 week, you're okay. But what happens when you need a reorder? You're reordering food. That food is a separate transaction. That's how I understand.
But selling the chazer was also a separate transaction.
Nah, those other chazer you have in that transaction.
I'm still allowed to sell them, even though that's
the exit of the entrance, which was the heter.
Because the entry you couldn't separate, you're allowed to do the exit.
Video.
So maybe because
keep on making new entrances.
But maybe because the exit you can't separate, you're allowed to do the entry.
But that's nothing. What has nothing to do? These are new transactions, I mean. These are new things. These are new.
Because you can't complete the second one of them.
You can't. Sorry.
Maybe
amusement piece.
Is that okay?
It could be, but I didn't order those either. I'm entering into a new transaction. What would be the heter? This is damnu. Don't order it. So that's the problem. So you can have a food service. There are many places that they claim they can't afford a food service. Food service obviously costs more than making it in-house. And many places that there's no such food service available. What do you do then? So then you could do, the next level is, essentially you make your own food service. Which means, there's a guy running your kitchen, he has to be the owner of the kitchen. Which means he has a food service. He's not your employee that he's a chef. He has to have his own LLC. He orders the food, right? You can indemnify that you'll pay his hotzois, because that makes sense. The same way, when a real food service also you're paying his hotzois, right? You're paying the cost of the food. There's a price, right? So you could say, you are running a food service. You're my chef. You're not my chef anymore. You have an LLC. You order the food from your account. And you serve food. And I pay you X amount a month, which covers A, your costs, and B, your revach. That's kedai for you. And
then you have a management fee back to me for all the profit.
No. He's not doing it for free. He's making money.
Really? After
the chef's working for money. He's not working as an employee. He's working as an owner of an LLC. He just switched it from a, whatever we call it,
tonight
to
K1. Yes, inventory.
And, I'm sorry?
Yes, legitimately own
that. Right, so that's the problem. The problem is, this is the problem we've gotten into so many times when we try to work it out. What happens is that the nursing home has... nursing home people, for some reason, only want to pay 6 months later. That's the way they run. So and that they, if you could keep all the money just for 6 months, you know, you could live large. So that's it. Then you just float it. You know? So what happens is that when you have this fellow who yesterday was in the kitchen and today he's a business owner of a food service, he's not getting terms. He's not getting terms. So if he's going to send the invoice, which he has to, if it's my invoice, it's mine. It's his invoice, it's his. So if he's sending an invoice to his LLC that's saying, we're not sending you food, we don't know who you are. And we're not sending you food unless you pay up front, right? And the nursing home is not willing to front the money. So that's the problem. So what do? Front the money. So front the money. And that's what it takes. Sometimes we have this, I've done this with the, I don't know, he's there, Shmuel Honigwax. You could write a letter to the bank where you're indemnifying the liabilities of the supplier. You will cover those. You will cover his debts. So there's no liability that he's not going to pay you. We're going to keep the terms going. But he's invoicing. It's his bank account the money's coming from. And I'm indemnifying him, the supplier, that if that guy doesn't pay, then I'll pay. I'll pay his chayv. That it's a financing deal, and that has nothing to do with the purchase. The purchase is, you can only money, like our shluchdats or Kavlan, something like that. So if you could pull off something like that, then weiter. I'm not the owner of the nursing home, of the food. The food, the hospitality is being run, the food of the hospitality at least, is being run through the Gentile, and then it becomes mine. Okay, fine? That's all clear?
There's an owner of a Jewish nursing home, and he has his Goyish food hospitality, and the majority are Goyim, and he knows that he has one Yid in the nursing home.
What does he do?
The owner of the nursing home have a chiyuv to supply kosher food to the Yid.
Well,
he knows he's getting tricked.
I want to tell you something. It's a complicated question, because define supply. What's he going to do? What's he going to do?
Who?
What's the Jewish owner going to do? Tell me exactly what do you want to know. What's he mechuyev to do?
He's putting a plate at the guy's.
He's not eating it.
He's not eating it.
I'm telling you, he's not eating it. You should know. You should.
You gotta eat something.
I'm gonna tell you how nursing homes work. When a yid buys a nursing home, he can buy it from a yid, he can buy it from a guy. But if he does buy it from a yid, including in the sale of the nursing home, somewhere in the freezer, it's like almost the mezuzah on the door. Somewhere in the freezer is some airline packets, vacuum packed, frozen 8 years ago, kosher food sitting there. And that has to stay in the nursing home for the nursing home to be kosher. And why is it kosher? Because that fry in there, he could eat it. Okay, right? Is that true? Okay, that's not true. Because if I come to you, you know the sugyas in the door in Avodah Zarah. Many of you learned it now, right? If I come to the din of Lufni Iber is referencing, and the Gemara is referencing a nazir. Okay, a nazir is not allowed to drink wine. Okay, a nazir says, I need wine. Pass me wine. Give me wine. Am I allowed to give you wine? Not allowed to give you wine. So now you say, give me wine. I say, you're a nazir. You can't drink wine. I'm going to give you water. And you know what you say to me? I don't want water. I want wine. Oh, I offered him water, so now here's your wine. Does that make sense to you? There's no such concept. So if I own a nursing home and I have somewhere in the freezer an airplane meal, and the fryer person says, I'm not eating it, is that allowing me to feed him kosher, not a tray for
no,
me?
No, at this point, it doesn't.
It doesn't. So it's right your there. Question you're asking
the
me, it's a false question.
In the nursing
because
home, like
I could bring kosher food in, but he's not going to eat it.
But do you have a chiyuv to at least supply it to him?
That's not your question. That's not your question. Your question is, do I have a chiyuv to exit the business? Because I mean, overlooking the evil. Because he's not going to eat it. What I'm trying to say, you're not going to supply it to him. He doesn't. He wants to eat the same shrimp he's been eating 50 years. He's not going to eat your kosher food. So you don't have... It's a false choice question. He's not going to eat the kosher food. And if you offer it to him and he doesn't eat it, you're in the same boat that you were before you offered it to him.
He's a new admission. I won't know that until I find out.
Once
so
you find out,
to at least the first time saying, "Here's kosher food."
It doesn't help you to offer him kosher food. You're still stuck. You're still stuck because he's not going to eat it. Okay, to answer your question, if he'll eat only kosher food, you're mechuyev to give him kosher food. But that's not going to be the reality. He's going to want his tray for food. Now you're back to the first question. I offered him kosher food. He wants tray for food. Am I allowed to feed him tray for food? And the answer is, look, Eber says I can't feed him tray for food.
I own the business. So back to the food service.
So that's the problem. But I'm just saying it's not going to help. Our topic today is not Litvin Iver, but that's a very good question.
What if food's not so bad? Why do you have you're putting food, and you're giving the goyim a much better quality food?
No, we're not giving quality. It's what I'm telling from experience. It's what they're used to. They're eating this for many, many years. They're not going to start eating a steady diet of gefilte fish. That's just not going to happen. They want their crab, and they want their shrimp. Unfortunately, they're later there tonight. They don't know anything else. And they're not going to do it. And if you offer it to them, it's not going to help. And I was once traveling with my shver. There was a fellow who he was making. This is a very big company, very well known, very big company. It was a very big mistake. But this big conference that they were going, that they were making, he knew that there were many non-observant employees in the company. It's a massive. They took a whole huge hotel in Atlantic City. And they're having a big company, what do you call it?
Retreat,
video. Yeah. And the bottom line is, the person who arranged it, arranged majority was tray for food, majority. And for the frum, he had like in a separate thing, he had the kosher food. And then, by the time the frum owner, chappa was going on, it was that money was out the door already. And we're talking about six digits of food. I mean, the question was presented, there was already, that money was invested. He's not getting that money back. And we were discussing, now, there was a lot of shilas there, because there were fryer people. And again, I could tell the fryer people eat here. They're not going. He said, they're not going to. He's like, they're not going to be comfortable. It's not their oilam. Their oilam is fried. They're not sitting there. They're not bringing the food there. It's not happening. It's just not happening. And we were trying to, I had this fellow on speaker, and my shver asked him, this was a lot of money. He said, if you take this hit, you made money this year? He said, yeah. He said, you made money this quarter? He said, yeah, which means this guy's making a lot of money. You understand? And he said, just throw it all out. That's it. The money went goodbye, and he had to start from scratch, and he ordered the whole thing kosher. And because there's no other solution. Sometimes there's no other solution. There's no other solution. You can't be serving fried people tray for food. Okay, Rabbi, I'm sorry. I literally am going to miss my flight. So, Shukarach, you all have been very wonderful. It's always a pleasure. Thank you. Thank you. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it.